T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I'm not looking to make this a topic per se right now, but we just had another death on the roads. And if you look back at the social media accounts, Scott, for the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, they're tweeting this. People are talking about it. The mayor's talking about it, that 90% of the deaths we have had, traffic deaths this year, 90% have not been wearing a seatbelt.
I believe it.
18 of 20 people who have died in their cars just so far in 2024 were not wearing their seatbelt. When did we stop wearing seatbelts? Did I miss that memo?
No, you didn't.
We're the car seat kids generation. Helmets. Helicopter people.
Right. A lot of people still don't like wearing seatbelts, and there's an easy way around it. You just hook the seatbelt behind your back.
No. Look, if you look back 20 years ago, you could hook it behind your back, or 10 years ago. There's no way we were at 90% non-usage in Kansas City. 90%?
That doesn't shock me at all.
I am stunned.
Why?
Because how dumb are people that you don't understand?
It's not
just physics.
We're talking about wreck fatality rates here.
90, but 90%, Sam?
Well, but that would mean that of the however many crashes, which I'm sure is well more than 20, they all had their seatbelts on and didn't die.
Correct.
There were only 2 crashes that were bad enough where they were wearing their seatbelt.
You know, and that's going to be the guy that goes, well, I was always told if I had been wearing it, you know, I would have been cut in half. There's always that one guy that, you know, at the bar tries to tell that story.
We know you weren't, but there's always somebody who says,
always.
Well, you know, that they've done studies that show that.
Look at the text line right now. I guarantee you someone is riding in going, well, they always told me if I had been wearing it. I cannot imagine with the way we grew up, Scott, bouncing around in the back wheel well of the car versus the way we have raised our children, that there are still that many people out there not wearing their seatbelts.
You'd be shocked.
All right.
I know several people. I will not name them on the air. That I know will clip the seatbelt behind them so they don't have to wear a seatbelt.
It takes just as much time to do that and die in a wreck than it does just to put it around your front and not die in the wreck.
Look at my face.
I know. I'm just saying. Passing it along.
Let me be everyone's example.
Old Twims over here.
Yeah. The windshield is my seatbelt.
It's not funny.
It's the greatest call sign ever. It happens all the time. I am the biggest seatbelt advocate you will ever find. If you get into my car and do not put your seatbelt on, that car does not move.
No, and you're now a projectile that's going to smash into me if I get in a wreck.
Well, I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about the guy sitting next to me or the gal sitting next to me in the car.
No, I'm always like, how does this affect me? Let me tell you how it's going to affect me. If you go flying, let's say you're 160 pounds, over to my side because you're not wearing a seatbelt, that affects me. Put your damn seatbelt on.
You, Dana, if you think you're going to get an argument out of me, you've come to the wrong audience.
All right, now this from the Overland Park Police Department.
Well, let's get to that in a minute. I want to talk very briefly about this. Rapper P. Diddy's alleged drug mule was arrested.
We're diverting to P. Diddy?
At a Miami airport. He's one of the most famous musicians in the country. Mm-hmm. After federal agents raided the singer's Florida and California homes, he might be in big trouble. Brendan Paul, 25 years old, was arrested yesterday at Opa-locka Airport after the feds intercepted Diddy's plane. He was booked on one count of possession of cocaine and one count of suspected possession of marijuana. Diddy was spotted at the same airport at 3 o'clock on Monday, talking on his phone. He has not been arrested or questioned. The drug, blah, blah, blah. Who cares?
Wait,
about
help me out here. This is a sex trafficking federal investigation.
Correct.
He now, we know, got on a private plane as the feds raided two properties.
Correct.
And then went to a country that I don't know that I've ever heard of, but does not have extradition with the United States.
Now, to be clear, we have no proof that he was on that plane. We just know that he was at the Miami airport at the time
seen
that this
on
plane
his
went
phone.
Off the flight aware radar.
Okay, and where did he go? Do we know? If he did get on that plane, where did that plane
go? It's my understanding it was a country that does not have
Antigua.
Extradition
Antigua.
With the United States.
His jet is in Antigua. We have no idea where he is.
All right, I'm going to look up, does Antigua have extradition to the United States? That is an island nation in the Caribbean.
Look, I could not name a single song ever in the history of ever that man has produced. I recognize the name. I would probably recognize him if you showed me a photo. But people have said there have been rumors about this sex trafficking for years, and that, in fact, some young woman brought this up years ago and was skewered for it.
Well, he's not only a performer. He's one of the most accomplished producers in music. And you most certainly know the song that he wrote about his best friend who was killed right after.
That one song.
No, he's had several hits.
I know. I'm just telling you it's not my thing.
But I understand, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is he is a very, very well-known producer and musician. And the allegations, by the way, Antigua does have an extradition treaty with the United States.
Oh. What I read yesterday was the plane was heading somewhere that did not have extradition. He's innocent until proven guilty.
Yep.
But when the feds come knocking at two different locations and your butt gets on a jet to hightail it out, it does not look good.
No, it does not look good at all. Story here from the Overland Park Police Department. This press release was released early this morning on March 26th, and I'm just reading directly from the press release. On March 26th, obviously that's today, shortly before 6 a.m., the Overland Park Police Department received a report of a road rage incident that occurred on westbound 435 near 69 Highway. The victim advised while traveling on 435, approaching 69, in the inside lane, a vehicle in front was traveling in the same lane, but at a slower pace. According to the victim, he moved over one lane and began to pass the vehicle. During that passing, the suspect vehicle swerved into the victim vehicle's lane.
Smashed into him!
Making contact. As the victim driver began to pull to the shoulder of the highway, the driver's side rear window shattered. A bullet hole was later located in the driver's side headrest. The driver was not injured. The suspect vehicle is described as white in color and a four-door sedan. He did not get the license plate. Joining us on the KMBZ hotline, Overland Park Police Officer, spokesman for the police department, John Lacey. Officer Lacey, welcome.
Hey,
thank
officer.
You. Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
When someone smashes into a car, why can't people just say they hit him? Why do you have to say making contact?
Really?
Yes.
I know, that's police jargon.
It is. Aliens make contact, Officer Lacey. Cars smash into each other. And what side of the car, can you tell me?
Don't let her criticize your writing.
Yeah, I will criticize his writing.
You're not the first person that I can realize, I guarantee you that. The victim had damage to the driver's side, and that means the suspect vehicle should have damage to the passenger side.
Say that one more time.
So the victim has damage to the driver's side.
Got it.
And the suspect has damage to the front panel, or should you say the passenger side.
Okay. What concerns me about this is not only the time of day. I mean, my jaw hit the floor. This was 6 a.m. My God. But also, this is not some rolling road rage battle back and forth for miles that we've heard about before that then escalates into a shooting. This was just the guys trying to go around the guy. He smashes into him and then a shot's fired.
Yeah. This is a little, it's a unique case. We don't hear about this all the time. Yes. Do we get road rage reports every day? Yes. And people do call in, and we still encourage people to call in, get a make and model, get a direction of travel. If you can identify the driver, things of that sort, yes, we want you to do all that. However, I believe that he was in the inside lane and he came up on this vehicle. And as he was attempting to pass this vehicle, that's when this vehicle just swerved into him, making contact with that vehicle. And he was pulling over, and then all of a sudden, the window shattered.
Officer,
and he realized that there was a gunshot to the driver's, what was it, the headrest. To the headrest.
Oh, the headrest.
The headrest.
Officer, never is there an excuse for road rage.
No.
But did the victim in this case indicate to you guys that he had acted in any way aggressively as he was, you know, flashing his lights, getting way too close and tailgating before he moved into the right lane to pass?
Not at all. He didn't say anything like that. He just said he was in the inside lane and the vehicle was moving a little bit slow and he attempted to pass. Now, it's not called the fast lane. It's called the passing lane. So I guess, I don't know if he was driving, I don't know how slow he was driving, things of that sort. That's why I put that information out. Maybe this driver wants to come in and talk to us. Maybe there's another side to this story.
Oh, I'm sure you'd love to hear from him.
I know.
Right.
I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but yeah, we do want to talk to him.
When you say the bullet hit the headrest, which headrest? Was it driver, passenger, or backseat? Do you know?
Driver.
Driver. Good.
Whoa,
God.
Wow.
I know.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, we have very limited information. All we have is a white sedan, and it continued to travel westbound on 435.
Four-door, two-door?
Four-door.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, very quickly, and we got to get to break, Officer Lacey, I want to say that I found your press release to be very well-written.
Thank you.
And you are not a journalist. You're a police officer, and I credit you for a very well-written press release,
yep,
despite what Dana Wright
it was
says.
Very, very nice to make contact with you today, sir.
Seriously?
All right. You guys, I would go. Thanks for having
me.
Get
out of here. And I was not criticizing John Lacey, who's been a friend of mine for years. I was criticizing Channel 9, who wrote in their report, the car made contact. I just sent it to Chris, and I go, aliens make contact. Cars slam into each other.
This is disappointing. A story here from CNN. The Utah women's basketball team claims they had to switch hotels after experiencing what head coach Lynn Roberts called racial hate crimes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Ahead of its first NCAA tournament game. According to Roberts, the team was staying at a hotel in Idaho before a first-round game against South Dakota State in Spokane, Washington, when the incidents occurred. Quoting here from the coach, "We had several instances of some kind of racial hate crimes towards our program, and it was incredibly upsetting for all of us. There is so much diversity on a college campus, and so you're just not exposed to that very often. Racism is real. It happens. It's awful. So for our players, whether they are white, black, green, whatever, no one knew how to handle it. It was very upsetting." Utah did defeat South Dakota State on Saturday.
Okay.
Following the alleged incidents, Robert said that the Utes switched hotels after just one night before their games in Spokane.
That makes me mad.
Yeah, that's too bad.
The funniest stuff comes out sometimes on the opposite end of that spectrum during March Madness, and here is one tweet that had me on the ground as Yale won that first historic game.
Oh, that was on. We stayed then, late to watch that here in the newsroom. That was awesome.
And then hung on in until they lost in the next round. This is from the official count of something called Yale MBB. And it's Yale, okay?
Okay.
They write, "Our notifications are blowing up with basketball tweets, but we are the Yale Molecular Biophysics and Biochemistry account. You might want to tag at Yale M Basketball instead. Bula bula.
Bula bula bula."
Even Dick Vitale accidentally tagged the Yale MBB, Molecular Biophysics and Biochem team, instead of BB, the basketball team.
Aw.
From Yale MBB. "Yale Molecular Biophysics and Biochem beats Auburn 78-76. Talk about March Madness.
How's Dick Vitale doing?
So that's interesting that you ask, because right at the end it says, as for Vitale, he is looking forward to announcing his return being given a clean bill of health. Good. Perhaps we can hear him talk about life at the molecular level when he's back on ESPN Airwaves, baby.
That's very funny. Very funny. We touched on this yesterday during the program from ABC News. Shohei Ohtani broke his silence yesterday about a gambling scandal that has prompted his team, the Los Angeles Dodgers, to fire his interpreter last week. In a prepared statement through an interpreter, Ohtani said, quote, "I am very saddened and shocked that someone who I trusted has done this. I never bet on baseball or any other sport. I never asked somebody to do that on my behalf and have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports."
It's possible he did not know where his money was going or who had control of it. Someone on Twitter last night said, "I'm married to an MLB player. I worked in the NFL. You would be stunned how many of them have no idea where their money is or where it's going." Also worth noting, NBA player Jontay Porter is now also under gambling investigation, and the league is looking into prop bet irregularities per report. That is from CBS Sports.
Okay.
In this Shohei story, I read yesterday that the wire transfers were actually made in October of last year.
What does that mean? That would mean
just
during the World Series.
Throws more questions when we didn't even ask them, or more answers, I guess, when we didn't even ask them.
Right.
These payments were made 6 months ago, and all of a sudden your lawyers are like, no, it was that guy, when nobody even said, hey, what's up with these payments?
And weren't these were payments of, if I'm not mistaken, Sam, and I think we reported this yesterday, these were payments of $500,000 each.
The two payments that they have direct documents of were for $500,000 apiece.
I'm not saying it stinks like a rotten fish, but it stinks like a rotten
you
fish.
See,
6 months ago,
Ohtani went to an NCAA game. He's like sitting there in the stands of one of the March Madness games.
Okay.
And someone tweeted, "I know what somebody sweating out a parlay looks like when I see it." I'm sorry.
Sweating out a
parlay. I don't care who did what or who's in trouble. That's funny.
Well, I'll tell you this, and we talked about this just briefly yesterday with Bobby Kerr, who was in. This is a headache Major League Baseball desperately does not want.
Well,
and this is the...
They were like, we didn't even know about it till the media called. Okay.
This is a scandal. I don't even know that Pete Rose would rise to this level of scandal.
Well, and initially it came out, he helped pay off my debts. That was from the Ohtani camp. It's not like some other person said that.
Right.
And then, just kidding. Wait, none of that's true.
And yet he's, quote, shocked that he would steal from me. Yet I paid him back for the money he stole? You see where this is going, right?
Yeah.
If somebody stole from me, I don't pay them back the money they stole. There's something here that, and I want to believe him. Because I think he's good for baseball, and I love to watch baseball.
Prove, when it comes to a wire transfer, either someone has the account information or they don't, prove whether he knew. I don't think you can prove that.
Tell me why the richest baseball player in Major League Baseball is paying his interpreter for stealing money.
Because they were best friends.
Okay, then he wouldn't have to steal the money.
I don't know. Does it look good? No. Are the optics bad? Yes.
Were those transfers to pay off sports betting debts?
That Ohtani
had occurred.
Nobody
has denied that.
That Ohtani may have occurred, allegedly. 913-586-7798. She is Dana Wright. He is Sam Stevie III. Hey, don't forget to check out our podcast, the Dana Parks Podcast. Available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We got a whopper coming up at 5 o'clock. From Reality Check in the Kansas City Star, the state of Missouri wants to take money from a prisoner that he received in an insurance payout after his mother's untimely death. And they want to take that money to pay for his incarceration.
Not to pay back his victims or restitution, but to pay for his incarceration?
When you are in prison, Scott, I get it. You're not allowed to profit off of your crime. You're not allowed to sell paintings or memorabilia or murderabilia or write a book and profit. You're not allowed to do any of those things, and I think that's fair.
Agreed.
But if your mother dies suddenly in a car wreck and you are the sole heir and you are now left with a minimal amount of dividends or money from that insurance payout, can the state just take your money? That doesn't seem...
What are you going to do with it?
Well...
I'm kidding.
We'll get into it. You know, now you might say, well, he's in for life. What's he going to do with it? There's not enough cigarettes you could buy.
You can't smoke in prison anymore.
We're going to talk about this coming up at 5. I don't think that I like this.
From CBS News, a Fort Lauderdale mother is explaining to CBS News how a rocky roller coaster ride changed her life. Jerry Ann Clem and her husband have filed a lawsuit in Orange County against Universal City Development Partners, which does business as Universal Orlando Resort, alleging that she suffered a traumatic brain injury after riding a roller coaster at the Universal Studios Florida theme park. Quoting here from Jerry Ann Clem, "I remember it started out going up an incline, and then it just felt like I was out of control." Sitting across her dining room table from CBS News anchor report, who cares? The 66-year-old Clem recalled what she described as a rough ride on the Hollywood Rip.
Ooh.
"There was I, getting thrown side to side really hard, violently. And I just remember, I just want this to be over," said Clem. On February 11th of last year, Clem took a quick trip to the theme park with her daughters, who are 19 years old. Their first ride was Hollywood Rip. Once off the coaster, her daughters called Richard Clem, who was home in Fort Lauderdale. "We just got off the ride, and she doesn't know our names. We're called Richard Clem, her husband. She can't read signs. She's not herself. I said, please try to get her some help." The family said they did seek immediate medical attention for Clem from a Universal employee on site. Universal also self-reported the injury to the Florida Department of Agriculture as a, quote, headache.
Oh, I don't know that that's how I would categorize this.
Don't you, though, when these theme parks are not stupid.
You get off the ride and you don't know your people's names that you're with. That's not a headache. That's a concussion. That's a head injury. Yeah.
Yeah. At the very least, it's a concussion.
I've been on many roller coasters. Many.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to fight the G-force as you're going around turns.
You can't fight a G-force.
You most certainly.
Ask Jesse Reed.
What if she wasn't, I don't want to say seat belted in tightly enough so that your head is then allowed to go? Because usually on roller coasters, they have that thing that comes down that allows you to lock in, you
unless
know, so your head doesn't violently
it's the Timberwolf,
sway back and forth.
And then you just get a seatbelt.
Now, the Timberwolf, yeah, you feel like you get off that ride with a concussion, but that's because it's a wood coaster, and that's just
and you're only, that shaky. You're only latched in with a seatbelt, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's fine print that says, you know, the ride is rocky.
I bet there's fine print on the back of the ticket you bought that says any injuries are yours alone and not ours.
But if you just let the ride take you and whip your head back and forth, you're going to end up with a pretty bad injury.
Dude, I remember going to, years ago, this would have been in 2012. My mom took my brother's family and my family down to Silver Dollar City, last time I'll ever go there. And Maya and I were on a roller coaster, and I looked over at one point, and she had met the height requirement, right? But I looked over, and she had one of those, you know, the rubber
shoulder harness.
Shoulder harness. Yeah, thank you, Sam. And she was about to come out of her seat.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, Dana. I have never been so afraid in my entire life. And I literally reached over, and the entire ride,
like our parents used to do, we weren't wearing a seatbelt in the car.
Right. And I literally held her in her seat with my right arm. There was a small divider between our two seats. When I got off, and I can still go onto Facebook and show you the picture. I posted on Facebook. The bruise on my arm was so pronounced the next day. I was holding that kid in to that roller coaster seat with every ounce of strength that I could muster. I was convinced my daughter was about to come out of that seat and die.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
I was petrified.
This is why I generally, at my mature age in life, do not run toward those thrill-seeking type rides. I don't. We were just in Mexico, and you could see all the people going up in the parasailing. Hard pass.
No, thank you.
Hard pass.
Well, we did that in Turks and Caicos.
No way.
That's actually kind of fun.
Yeah, till you fall to your death.
Into the ocean?
Hitting the ocean from a high
water
space
still hurts.
is just like hitting concrete. Then you get eaten by a shark and, you know, all the things. No.
Eaten by a shark?
What?
I'm telling you. Uh-uh. I ain't doing anything that nulls my life insurance.
But like, yes.
Like getting
you
on an airplane?
No, bungee jumping. They ask you when you sign your life insurance. Do you bungee jump? Are you a hot air balloon enthusiast?
No.
No.
As you are getting thrown into those loop-de-loops of a roller coaster, that is G-forces. You have to use your muscles to fight them.
That's right.
Otherwise, from the text line, if you go ragdoll, you will have problems.
Okay, what if people are drunk?
Well, then that's on you.
I know,
and
I'm just saying.
You have no lawsuit if you're drunk.
I feel horrible that this woman had a traumatic brain injury from it.
And I'm not saying she was drunk. I want to be clear. But I'm trying to figure out, like, who would be flipping and flopping around in that seat and not know that you're supposed to lean in against that force?
Somebody who's never been on a roller coaster?
Maybe.
I have no idea. Very quickly, this story here is from Gallup. As Americans observe Ramadan and prepare to celebrate Easter and Passover, the percentage of adults who report going to regular religious services remains low. 3 in 10 Americans, 30%, say they attend religious services every week. Actually, it's lower than that. 21% of Americans say they attend religious services every week or almost every week, 9%, while 11% report attending about once a month. 56% say they seldom or never attend church. Among major U.S. religious groups, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as Mormons, are the most observant, with 2/3 attending church weekly or nearly weekly. Protestants rank second, followed by Muslims, and then Catholics.
Oh!
A majority of Jewish, Buddhist, and Hindu Americans say they seldom or never attend religious services.
Should I tell you that I didn't even know Sunday was Easter until I asked my friend to meet us for brunch, and she goes, it's Easter. And I go, I still feel like you could meet us for brunch.
Where are you going to go?
What do you mean, where am I going to go?
To the brunch store.
To the brunch place.
Good luck finding a table. It's Easter.
Yeah. You're not going to find a table.
It's more of a bar than a restaurant.
Oh.
Yeah, because Catholics don't go to bars.
Wow!
So here is the latest out of Baltimore, the bridge collapse. By the way, before I get to it, a very interesting point was made on the text line earlier, and I failed to share because we had moved on to a different topic. But I believe that the governor or the mayor had requested that the news media stop showing the moment where the vessel hits the pier or the pillar and the bridge collapses, and presumably six people may have lost their
lives. Much like the moment the plane hit the towers.
That's exactly what somebody pointed out on the text line. They still show that. They still show that on television.
In documentaries, you're going to see it. Maybe on the anniversaries a while ago, you would have seen it. I feel like we saw it in the beginning a lot, and then that was so traumatic and so traumatizing that the news organizations, you remember having these meetings, Scott.
Sure.
Do we show that? Do we pull back? Do we... When I said that the mayor had requested they stop showing the bridge collapse, the first thing I thought of was 9/11.
And how many times have we, you know, sadly, seen video footage of a terrorist bombing attack somewhere? Whether it was at the Boston Marathon, whether it's somewhere overseas, you know, in Paris, in England, wherever. And you know at that very moment where you're seeing this explosion,
that a little boy lost his life.
People are losing their lives. But yet we show that because it's newsworthy. And I've watched this bridge collapse 1,000 times today. And I do think that the video is important. Not only so you can see what happened, but also the fragility of this bridge.
When it is placed up against the 10-billion-pound gorilla that was that vessel.
Right.
Yes.
But you know, and I was talking to newer boss earlier today about this, is it, when this bridge was constructed, did no one think, you know, there is a chance, it may happen.
Yes, they thought it because it happened in Tampa.
Well, but it was 3 years after this bridge was built.
Years ago.
But at no point did somebody who was constructing this bridge in 1977 say, okay, there's a chance in this very, very busy port that a ship might hit one of these pillars. We need to have breakoff points where if that happens, only this section of the bridge collapses.
But we know that the technology exists even later after the bridge was constructed to put what I've been describing as enormous concrete lily pads in the water.
Which they have in Tampa now.
Surrounding the pylons so that if a ship hits that, it's going to run aground. It's going to jack up the ship. It's not going to bring down an entire bridge.
The story here from CNN, the bridge collapse that has indefinitely halted the flow of ships in and out of the port of Baltimore could hurt the local economy, strain supply chains, and even scramble deliveries along the U.S. East Coast. The Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed after a container vessel called Dali collided with one of its supports. Dali is operated by a Singapore-based company called Synergy, but had been chartered to carry cargo by Maersk, the shipping giant. Yeah. The Port of Baltimore said in a post on Twitter that vessel traffic was suspended until further notice, but trucks were still being processed at its terminals. Seven container vessels are scheduled, or were scheduled, to arrive in Baltimore through this weekend. Here we go. Closer to the Midwest than any other port on the East Coast, Baltimore is a major hub for cars, containers, and commodities. Baltimore ranks first among U.S. ports for cars and light trucks, handling a record 850,000 vehicles every single year.
And I want to remind everybody, the conspiracy theories abound already, and it makes me sick. But the governor announced today during one of the news conferences that that ship's Mayday call, seconds before impact, the Mayday call enabled officials to stop and limit any more traffic from getting on that bridge before it collapsed.
They were able to shut down the bridge, but they couldn't get everybody. Everybody who was on the bridge didn't have time enough to get off.
The bridge is a mile and a half long.
But they were able to stop traffic from going onto the bridge.
By the way, you had mentioned setting it up in such a way that the whole thing wouldn't collapse. It only collapsed between the middle four main supports. Everything outside of the middle four main supports remains standing.
I don't know that that's true. If you go back and watch the video, there one portion of the bridge collapsed on the other side of one of the supports.
The point is that bridge is so long that if you were anywhere but on the fringe edges of it, there was no time.
Yeah.
The ship had only been in the water 28 minutes. It had just left port when it lost not only power, but propulsion. There was a mayday call that we have lost power and propulsion. It was literally just floating out on its own accord when it struck.
And Sam, you did the math on this earlier today on the show. Did you say that it was roughly weighed 200 million pounds?
200 million pounds, yeah. And if it were traveling at roughly 9 miles an hour or 8 knots, as has been reported, of course, this is very loose, rough math, but that is 1.8 billion pounds of force hitting that concrete.
Wow. FBI has deployed its dive, laboratory, and evidence recovery teams in response. Again, there is no sign whatsoever that there was any foul play.
And yet here come the...
Oh, good God, it's everywhere. It's everywhere online.
Why?
Because people need a hobby, Scott. I don't know.
How about get a life after you get a hobby? President Biden vowing today that the federal government will assist and will pay for the bridge's reconstruction. Quick break. News coming up in just a moment. She is Dana Wright. That guy over there, good-looking fella. His name is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ, we will see you on the other side of the news.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.